We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight.
We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You're listening to Fast and Furious Family Food Film Friends, where the only thing faster than the food is the rate at which we blow through our budget.
That is correct, both financially and time-wise. This week we're talking about Fast X while eating Portillo's Rodeo Burger.
From IMDb, the plot summary of Fast X. We need to settle this right now.
Fast 10?
Fast 10 or Fast X? What are we saying? I'm not going to say two things.
I couldn't care less.
Fast X. Because Fast X sounds like...
Extreme.
It's, yeah.
Extreme.
I like that.
I like... Yeah, I'm not going to say Fast 10. I read it how I see it. I don't have time. I don't have time to think of converting that to a 10.
It sounds extreme or like a supplement.
Yeah. Fast X. Just don't eat. Take this pill. You'll lose weight.
From IMDb, the plot summary of Fast X reads as follows. Dom Toretto and his family are targeted by the vengeful son of drug kingpin Hernan Reyes.
Those words mean so little to me because I don't know anything about this franchise. And from Portillo's.com, the Rodeo Burger features a classic one-third pound char-broiled burger on a brioche bun. God, I love a brioche bun. Stacked with new, thicker, crisper bacon. Oh, thinly sliced red onion. Onion rings, American cheese, and Portillo's tangy barbecue sauce. God damn, that sounds like a treat.
Portillo's is saying that this rodeo burger is their first new burger they've ever created.
Wow.
And they've been around for 60 years.
I wonder how thick this bacon's going to be.
I hope it's a chunky boy.
I hope it's real thick. I want it to be like, you know, you go to like a real shitty breakfast place and get the ham steak and it's like a good quarter, half inch thick. That's what I'm looking for in this bacon.
This may be Portillo's first rodeo. In the new burger game, but this is not the first rodeo for the Fast and Furious franchise. These movies won't go away.
No.
Fast X is the first in a either two-part or three-part finale, depending on who you ask. I want to play a clip real quick. This is from the red carpet premiere of Fast X, and I think it was like someone from Fandango asked Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez about how this is the first in a two-part finale for the series, and Vin Diesel said this.
I can say this. Going into making this movie, the studio had asked if this could be a two-parter. And after the studio saw this part one, they said, could you make Fast X, the finale, a trilogy? So,
It's 3X in any story.
Yeah. So are you guys confirming right now that we're getting a third movie? Wait, did that just happen?
Wait,
where are you guys going? Are you kidding me right now? You guys heard it here first. We may be getting a third movie. I love you, Vin Diesel.
It's so sad how much joy that woman got from that news. And I know it's because it's like a career-making moment where she found out this secret that nobody else knew, but... Nobody in the world should be excited that this movie is going to be spread out into three parts. Anytime that happens, it's not going to work out well. Like the second one's going to be totally fucking pointless, much like the first. And it's just, oh, that makes me so mad. And then we're going to have to do two more fucking episodes on these movies too. That's the worst part, is I know you're going to want to.
That happened about a week ago. No one from the studio, the filmmakers, anyone has confirmed this. This only was mentioned in passing at the red carpet.
Do you think Vin's just trying to get a third?
I think it's a negotiation tactic.
Yeah.
Because, so there's been speculation that like, so the money these movies make, I mean, we talked in our Summer Movie Wager episode about how it's kind of declining, and based on how it opened this weekend, it's even less than the last one.
Yep.
There's been speculation that, are they even going to finish this franchise as they plan, or is that maybe they're going to cut the budget back?
Yeah.
And I think this is Vin's way of being like, hey, everybody, there's three. And then he goes back to the studio and is like, all right, we can do two. But I want this much money.
I see what you're saying. Okay, that could be. That could be.
I would like you and I to try to predict right now what they're going to call the next one. Because if you look back at the series titles, incredible movie titles. This is in order, The Fast and the Furious. Too Fast, Too Furious, which is possibly the best sequel title of all time.
Yeah.
The Fast and the Furious, : Tokyo Drift. Fast and Furious. They dropped the thes. It's cleaner. Also, they introduced an ampersand.
Yeah.
Fast 5.
Mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
Furious 7. The Fate of the Furious, which on the poster it was like F8, but like it's just spelled out in the real title.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Then from there, they're going off the rails. F9. Yeah. That's the official title, is F9.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Fast X or Fast 10.
I don't know what they're going to call it, but I can guarantee you this. That 11 is going to be tire marks peeling out 100%. So I think it's going to be fast something, some other word, and then an 11 made by screeching tire marks.
But see, you can't even, this is what's so interesting about these titles. That's Vin right now. Vin pulled up and said, actually, we're making 4 more.
We heard you guys wanted more.
What's so great about these titles is there's not a single word that you can guarantee will be in the next title. Not even Fast.
Yeah.
Not even Furious.
No.
There will probably be an F.
Maybe it'll be Toretto with the 11 as the T's highlighted. I don't know. Now I'm curious. You got me thinking. I really don't care, but I'm curious.
My guess, and I'm probably not the first person to think of this, I think that it is going to be the last one, and they're going to call it The Final Furious, which is really stupid. But I think that it's going to involve the word final or furious. Finale.
What about The Fast Finale?
That's like even dumber.
Yeah, well, no shit. Like, do you know what we're talking about tonight?
Because they're not going to go Fast XI.
No.
They've never just like kept it
the
same 2 movies back to back.
No. And the tire marks idea is right there, so there's no chance. I don't know. I say let's workshop this for like 30, 40 minutes.
they're marketing this movie, Fast X. The tagline is "The End of the Road Begins."
Terrible tagline.
Can we just try to visualize what does that metaphor look
God.
Like? The end of the road begins.
God, it's like when you're on a nice paved road and it just starts turning into a nice ruddy, you know, chopped up thing, and you see the dirt road ahead with a do not enter sign right over a cliff.
And right on that cliff is Vin Diesel saying, keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
There's more road. There's more road.
I picture like you turn down a street and you see a dead end sign.
Yeah.
Like the end of the road begins. But there are houses here.
There's a small dirt path you can walk on foot beyond that. It needs to end. It just needs to stop. The worst part is, I know that after they finish, whether this is a 2 or 3 part disaster, after they finish, within 2 years, it's going to be a remake of every single one with a new cast. And they're going to remake it. I can guarantee you they're going to do some bullshit like that. Even if these bomb. I mean, how much money did this make this weekend? This made a decent
amount. It made a little bit less than F9's opening weekend.
Okay.
We'll see how it holds up long term. Yeah. I have doubts.
I do too.
Speaking of things that go on way longer than they should, let's do some Nimble News.
Woo! Beep, boop, 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 boop. That's the theme, right?
Nimble News.
Nimble News is the part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, TV series, purchases, experiences, maybe even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion. Mm-hmm. Kevin, you ready?
I'm ready.
Hit me.
I'm tempted to do it in Dom Toretto's voice, but also I had an idea. So I was eating some pickles the other week, and I was like, I should review these for Nimble News. And I, in my head, started doing it in a New Jersey accent just because I had like a mouthful of pickles and it's kind of fun to do a Jersey accent. And I thought we should do a Nimble News jerseys when we do it in New Jersey accents the whole time.
I'm going to take that to the board.
Yeah. Well, maybe next season. You know, this is a 2 or 3 part episode. So
our writers are on strike right now. So true.
If you can tell. Nathan, I finally got around to watching the show Beef, the A24 produced vehicle for Steven. What's his last name?
I think Yun.
Yun, Steven Yun and Ali Wong. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Okay. So I started watching it kind of on a whim. Ran out of shows to watch. I caught up. I do a lot of show watching these days. Got into the show. First episode, liked it. Second episode, loved it. And from then on, I was absolutely hooked. I mean, the performances by those two are astounding, along with everyone else in the cast. I mean, there's not one bad performance in this show. But it is just so addicting at a certain point. And it just goes. And you relate to these insane decisions the characters are making. Like, I've been that pissed off about something so dumb before. And I've made a stupid mistake like this before. It is a beautifully put together show. The pace is perfect. You're never bored. It's not too fast. And I think the plot is so addictive that once you get two or three episodes in, you're going to finish this whole series. Mm-hmm. The ending kind of left me wanting a little bit more. I didn't hate the ending, but I think I just want more of this show, and I wanted it to keep going. But overall, I would recommend this show to everyone. I think it's phenomenal. Even my mom loved it. She watched it before me and said I would love it. And she was right. Beef, it's on Netflix, streaming. Highly recommend. It is an absolute blast.
Yeah, I really liked Beef. It's the kind of show where you just put two people in a pressure cooker and see what they do. And those kinds of shows, I feel like, can, if they're not well written or they're not performed in a way that it feels genuine, it can feel kind of like soapy and twisty and totally fake. But they make these completely bizarre plots feel, like you said, feel actually kind of relatable.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, like every episode is a different pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. There's so many, like when I'm watching episode 4 or 5, I'm thinking like, I have a pretty good idea of how this season's going to go.
Yep.
And you don't.
You do not.
Whatsoever.
It totally derails you like halfway through.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I would recommend it to anyone who, it's its own thing. It you is. Know, there's really nothing like it. And there's, it's cool to be able to like all enjoy something that is just so one unique. Of a kind.
It
and,
really
and
is.
And well made.
It is so well made. Like, God damn, it's just...
Kevin, it's been a good year for movies so far.
It has.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff in theaters these last few months. I've really enjoyed pretty much all of it. Dungeons and Dragons was a lot of fun.
That was a very fun one.
Evil Dead Rise was sick as hell.
Nope.
How to Blow Up a Pipeline is such a riveting thriller. I had a great time with Sisu, which is basically what if John Wick was an old man who killed Nazis.
I need to watch that.
Air has a really well-written story. I liked it a lot. Rye Lane, which is this new rom-com on Hulu. It's super fresh and charming. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, is a terrific coming-of-age movie. But there's one film that I still don't know if I liked or not, because in some ways, it's completely skippable, but in other ways, it's absolutely essential. I'm talking about Renfield.
Oh my God, I still haven't seen it!
Renfield is a comedic take on the story of Dracula's assistant. Nicholas Holt plays Renfield, and he's desperately trying to get away from his very toxic boss, Dracula, played by Nicolas Cage. If that was the whole movie, I probably would have loved it. But that is about 40% of the movie. The rest of the movie is Ben Schwartz playing a gangster trying to impress his mom, and Awkwafina playing a police officer going up against a corrupt system. She has all this family drama. Renfield is eating bugs to gain superpowers. And when I say superpowers, I'm not talking like vampire abilities. I'm talking super strength and super jumps. He'll just become an X-Men character for 5 minutes and massacre a bunch of people.
That's what vampires do.
This movie has some of the goriest action scenes I have ever seen in terms of the amount of blood everywhere. It's just, it's all these clashing tones that really don't fit together at all. But Nick Cage as Dracula is a Hall of Fame Cage performance.
Wow.
He commits 100%, as he always does. Regardless of whatever else is happening in this movie, every second that he's on screen is excellent. It is everything you want from him and more. But altogether, it's maybe 15, 20 minutes of Cage scattered throughout a movie full of misfires. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you're a Cage head like me, like us.
Yes, thank you.
You have to check out Renfield, even if you fast forward or zone out for most of the runtime. But if you're not the biggest fan of Nick Cage, this movie probably won't do much for you. But stay tuned, because Universal Pictures has another Dracula movie coming out this year, and one more in production. So they're really sucking every last drop of blood from that property.
Oh my God, you dirty dog. You dirty dog. You wrote that whole thing just for that last line. Nathan, I think the last time we did Nimble News, I talked about a letdown of a... No, I talked about a great dill pickle item. The Trader Joe's potato chips. Dill pickle and a chip, whatever the hell they're called. I've been on a kind of a dill pickle odyssey since then. I'm trying to find all these good dill pickle things. And I was at Aldi the other day and I saw Clancy's dill pickle popcorn. And I thought, yeah, that could possibly work. I love popcorn. I love dill pickle. And I gave it a shot, and I poured myself a bowl of this, and I thought, it's actually, you know, that's not half bad. That flavor's there. You know, that dill pickly flavor is there, but it tricks you. It tricks you because it's popcorn, and some of these bites explode with these flavors, and others just, you die of boredom waiting for it to hit you. And it's perpetually unsatisfying in a way that makes you continuously search for satisfaction and go back for more. And even when you lick your fingers at the end, you think, that's it? Is that that's the flavor? It's so close to being exactly what it should be, but it's just not enough. And I want to go write a letter to Clancy's and say, just double whatever you did to this. Double the seasoning, make it work. It's so close. And it is nice. It's a fine bowl of popcorn if you want to enjoy something while you watch it flick. But it's just not quite there. And it broke my little heart. However, I was redeemed by Blue Diamond Bold Spicy Dill Pickle Almonds. And the only word I wrote on my review for this in my notes is that they are good. And I stand by that. If you're looking for dill pickly things, get some spicy dill pickle almonds from Blue Diamond. They're very nice. They're not as good as the Trader Joe's chips, but they're miles beyond Clancy's dill pickle popcorn. I will continue on this dill pickle quest for all of our picklers out there. And I'll let you know what I've tried next time.
Sounds like Clancy's is more of an edging experience.
Yeah, if you want to really, I mean, you can eat that whole bag all day, hours, and then get to the almonds and just explode with joy. Maybe mix them in. Maybe if you mixed them in, that could work. I'll report back.
Kevin, I tried a fast food item called the PBBNJ. Now, before I tell you where I got it from...
I know where you got it from because I've seen it on a menu.
I want you to try to guess what else was on it other than peanut butter and jelly. There are three more toppings on the PBBNJ. I'll give you five guesses.
PB is peanut butter. B, banana.
So I'll give you five guesses. That's wrong. You get four more.
NJ. Is it J jelly?
Mm-hmm.
And the PB is peanut butter.
Yes.
So the B...
The B gives you one of the other toppings.
And how many other toppings are there?
There are three more.
Beef.
Yes. I don't think that's actually what the B stands for, but
yeah.
There is beef.
A burger.
Yes.
That's fucking disgusting. Cheese?
Yeah.
Oh.
You get two more guesses.
And I have one more ingredient?
Yeah.
I'm nailing it so far.
Yeah.
Peanut butter jelly, burger, and cheese. What the fuck else would go on there? Onions?
No. One more guess.
Mayo.
No.
Fuck.
Last ingredient.
Two out of three ain't bad.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Bacon, the B actually stands for.
Fuck!
And this is all on a pretzel bun. Put that together and you've got a Culver's PBBNJ.
Oh my God.
I see you're Googling. You're not going to find a whole lot. I was in the drive-thru and I saw a small sign that said, try our new PBBNJ. And of course I said, it is my sacred duty. Then while I waited for my order, I did some Googling to see, is this available at all Culver's locations? Are they testing it in some places? Is it a limited time thing? And I found, I'm not exaggerating, not a single trace of information about this sandwich.
Did you, can I ask if you wrote to the Wisconsin
State
Journal?
Allow me to continue.
Oh my God, I just found an article that mentions a chewer named Nathan. That's you.
I found no information about this sandwich at the time. Which I have never experienced.
Hold on,
before.
Let me see your thumb. Because there's a thumb in this picture, spreading this burger apart. That's your thumb.
I have never before experienced finding no information about a fast food item. If a fast food item exists, there are blog posts about it, video reviews, Reddit threads, podcast episodes. So I thought, are they testing this at one location in Middleton, Wisconsin, starting today? So I took some pictures of the sandwich and of the little sign, sent them to our favorite website, chewboom.com.
Oh my God.
And they picked it up. Then that post got picked up by a bunch of news sites and radio stations. And now my shitty zoomed in picture of a sign is all over the place.
Oh my God.
On Madison.com, they got a quote from the Middleton Culver store manager who confirmed that it was a very limited test item. He said, quote, some people liked it and some people didn't care for it. So they might bring it back again, unquote. And I would love to know who liked the PB&J because it tasted like an accident in the worst way. It's like an employee was making a burger, set it down next to the ice cream toppings, and then someone knocked over the containers of peanut butter sauce and berry sauce. I literally think that's what they used on it. It's not actual peanut butter and jelly. It's runny sauce slathered over a burger. The berry flavor clashes terribly with the rest of the ingredients, and Culver's beef and bacon is so flavorful that you can barely even taste the peanut butter. It just makes it stickier in your mouth. I would not recommend the PB&J at all, and fortunately, it no longer exists. If I had not snapped some pics, I would probably be unsure if I actually ate this or if it was just some fever dream.
Oh my God. I mean, at the bottom of this article, it just says images via Nathan, which I love so much. And I cannot believe that the Middleton Culvers was just doing this. I cannot believe that this got a green light at any level in the organization because it sounds terrible. There's nothing about that that sounds good. I guess beef as a joke. And it looks horrendous.
I honestly would think that, like, an intern thought of this one day, but there was a picture on the sign. They at least like had a shoddy Photoshop of this thing.
Yeah.
Like they had a plan.
There was effort.
There was text. There was a layout.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you finally got that big break you've been looking for in the fast food news industry.
Mom, I'm a star.
Gosh. I would love to see the email that you wrote into chewboom.com.
I sent a lot of emails. The first one started, "Dear Mr. President."
They can't keep getting away with it. Nathan, I had an early morning the other day. I had to be somewhere. Had to drive. Normally, I'm a biker. Been biking a lot since it's nice out. But I had to drive, and it was a bit out of the way. It was early in the morning, and I thought, God, you know, I want something for breakfast. And I thought, I really love Wendy's breakfast. Mm-hmm. I like everything that they have. So I'm going to go there and get my normal, like, whatever sandwich, you know, pretty simple. I got there at 10:30 and they stopped serving. I literally watched the guy while I was one car back flip the menu.
Oh no.
And I thought, so I got up and I said, is there any way I could still do breakfast? And she said, depends, what do you want? And I said, I started to say my normal order, but then I saw a sign for a breakfast Baconator. And I thought, there are a few fast food sandwiches I love more than a Baconator in general. I love it. So I go, I'll take one breakfast Baconator. Nothing else, because I know that's going to destroy my body already. I didn't really know exactly what was going to be on it. I thought a burger, you know, with an egg, some cheese, who knows. I get the bag, I'm in my car, I'm driving home, and I decide I'm going to eat it on the way home because I'm a fiend and I was hungry. I pull it out, and I look at it, and the cheese is not like a slice of cheese. It is like a layer of fondue that is dripping. Like, this cheese is otherworldly. Not great, but just in terms of the texture and how it coated the entire bottom of the burger, I was like, this is astounding. So I go in for a bite. I take a bite, and it's not a beef patty. It is a, like, breakfast sausage patty.
Oh, my God.
Which I don't normally like, so I'm like, ugh, that doesn't work for me. But I was like, you know what? This would work for a lot of people, probably. The egg was just a delicious fried egg, still had some runny yolk in it, and the bun was fantastic, too. So this was a very weird experience for me. It was not at all what I expected, but I will say, overall, I think this is something you would fucking love,
personally.
And I know a lot of other people who would too, but I'd rather have a plain Baconator. I think if this had a beef patty, I'd be all in on it. But I would highly recommend you checking this out if you can, because it's like beef, you know, it's kind of its own thing. The show, that is. it's very unique, and I've never seen that level of commitment to a cheese. Like, they have to just have a vat of this cheese in the back, and I never would have expected it. So the breakfast Baconator is an experience. Give it a shot, you know? Take the risk.
Are we talking normal bun or some kind of, like, maple
situation? It wasn't like a McDonald's, what are those ones?
McGriddles.
Yeah, it wasn't a McGriddle. I think it might have been brioche, actually. Grilled sausage, American cheese, applewood smoked bacon, a fresh, cracked, free-range egg. Deep breath. It says that. More cheese and more bacon, all covered in our signature cheese sauce. Don't just break your fast. destroy it. That is literally, that's what it looks like. And the egg was so good, I'm telling you. And the amount of bacon was nice too. It looks like they do have a normal slice of cheese on there. Maybe I got a funky one. I don't know. But oof.
You know what I'm going to add to that? They got that real good maple butter.
Oh, God. Add some PB&J to it, you fucking psycho.
Kevin, I've come a long way in weaning myself off of social media over the years. I avoid Facebook as much as possible these days. I use Instagram, but I spend very little time on it. I never join TikTok and never will. I only go on Reddit if I'm looking for something specific. Mm-hmm. But there's one vice I haven't been able to kick, and
tweet,
that's
tweet,
Twitter.
Tweet, tweet.
Because it's always been the one app on my phone that actually makes me happy every time I use it. The people I follow post things that are either hyper-relevant to me and my interests, or just make me laugh. Mm-hmm. And the algorithm has really learned exactly what I like. So I can either stick to the following tab and just catch up on the people I follow, or I can go to the For You tab, which is a bottomless pit of entertainment.
Yes.
If I have 5 minutes of free time, I just jump in the pit. And next thing I know, 5 minutes is 40 minutes. But I'm having a great time. Mm-hmm. It's the only site I'm addicted to because it's the only site that consistently brings me joy. Mm-hmm. But then this guy named Elon Musk bought the company and started to completely dismantle it. And coincidentally, the experience of using the product has become much worse. As fun as it was to follow all this drama as it unfolded, now we're just left with a shittier platform.
Yeah.
Not shitty enough to make me stop using it entirely, but still pretty shitty. So I was laying in bed one night, scrolling through my feed that's a shell of what it once was. And I thought to myself, you know, what if every minute I spent on Twitter, I spent reading a book instead?
Nice.
And I do read books, but I only ever read when the circumstance is exactly right. Like when I'm in a room with the right lighting, mm-hmm. I'm positioned in a way that's comfortable to hold a book and turn the page. I have the time to commit to reading a chapter or two. There aren't any distractions around me. But I thought about all those spare minutes throughout my day where I just pull out my phone for 2 seconds because it's so convenient. It doesn't matter how bright or dark it is or where I am or if I'm using one hand to cook or brush my teeth. My phone is designed to be used easily anytime, anywhere. If only there were a device like that, but for reading books. So, Kevin, I got a Kindle.
Hey, look at this.
And it might be the best purchase I've ever made.
Wow.
I got the Kindle Paperwhite, which has a backlight. You can adjust the brightness and the warmth. And it's perfect because if you leave it on low brightness all the time, in a well-lit room, you can't even tell there's a backlight. Hmm. But in a dark room, there's enough light to read comfortably without hurting your eyes at all. I love it. The battery lasts for weeks. I've literally charged it once, wow. And I've had it for over a month now. There's more storage space than I'll ever need. I'm renting ebooks from my local library through the Libby app for free. Mm-hmm. I'm reading more than I have since I was a kid. It's so fulfilling. I'm already getting faster at reading. I'm less scatterbrained. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd done this so much sooner, but I'm just glad I did it now. So, two pieces of advice. Read more, whatever it takes to do so. Mm-hmm. And if you're addicted to something, just ask Elon Musk to become the owner of that thing so it becomes unenjoyable enough for you to quit.
Perfect. He will do that. Nathan, as I have been reading a ton more recently, and it is, I fully agree with you. It's such a better way to spend time. I used to just scroll my phone endlessly before bed, and now I have kind of a hard rule where my phone gets down, I take a book and I'm reading in bed before I go to sleep. And it is so much more productive. It has led to some shockingly late nights though, because I'm reading good books and I don't want to fucking stop. And I think having your brain on that one track is so much better than the endless Twitter, Instagram scrolling that's just so all over the place that you also never want to stop, but it's because your brain's just getting these little dopamine hits. Whereas books are great. And I'm very glad that you're on a similar path as me. And I think, well, the cops are coming, so we better get back on Twitter, because we can't just ignore Elon forever.
Is that Tyrese?
Nathan, I have one more NIMBY. You gave me a homework handoff.
Yes, I did.
And instead of waiting 3 years, like you did for yours, guess what I did? My fucking homework. I tell Aiden that he has to do his all the time, and I said, I can't be a hypocrite. I'm going to do this. So I watched the 2022 movie I Love My Dad, that you recommended, with Patton Oswalt and James Morosini as the son of Patton Oswalt. He's also the writer and director, I found out. this movie is about a dad who his son blocks him out of his life on social media, everything. So he catfishes his son and pretends to be a young lady who his son is very into. This obviously creates some hilarious and absurd scenes. I think one thing I really liked about this movie, and it's like in Beef, for example, when characters are texting, you know, they put the text up on the screen of what they're texting. And that's in a lot of movies. You either see a screen or like they'll just put the text, you know, not on an actual screen, but on
visualize in like an interesting way.
Yeah. And this movie basically pops a character into the room with the person. And so they are having what seems like a normal conversation, but you understand it to be their text or their online chats. I loved that aspect of it. I think Lil Ray Howery in this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Patton is great. I didn't like James as the son at all. He made me very uneasy for some reason. And I don't know why. I kept trying to think where I recognized him from or why I would have like this automatic negative feeling about him. And I could not place it. I don't know why, but something just put me off of him. A couple things also took me out of it. Like Patton not silencing his phone when he's with his son, like getting texts from him. I was like, come on, you gotta be doing that. But overall, I think this movie is definitely worth a watch. It is very fun. The ending is pretty adorable, I think, and pretty hilarious. And overall, I'd give it a good. But I don't think I liked it as much as you. I'm sorry, Nathan. I'm sorry. So for your homework handoff, which I expect to receive in 2027, last week, two episodes ago when we were doing NIMBYs, I mentioned the show Tacoma FD, which is done by the band of comics called Broken Lizard.
Yeah.
And you said you had never seen any of their movies.
Uh-huh.
So I want you to watch Super Troopers. It is a movie that they made years ago. I mean, I don't even know.
I feel like I may have seen it, but if I did, I don't remember it well.
2001. So I was 11, which I should not have watched that movie. If you have seen it, I want to give you two alternates that you can watch. Club Dread, which is another one from them, or Beer Fest, which is another one from them.
Okay.
I would probably put Beer Fest as funnier. Club Dread is a horror movie, comedy horror. They're all great. Ideally, you would watch all three and report back to me before we record our next episode. There's a couple other movies they've made that I want you to kind of get to later, maybe, but these would be the ones I'd recommend starting with, and Super Troopers is great.
So one of those.
Or three.
No.
Okay.
No extra
maybe
credit.
Maybe two. Maybe two. I just kind of want to see what you think. And I think those movies were staples of my like childhood and general sense of comedy. And just the way that those guys operate is so funny to me. And Super Troopers has a character in it. Don't look up anything about it.
I won't.
That will be very fun for you to watch now based on something that you've watched recently. But yeah, that's it. Homework. Hand it off.
I will have that on your desk someday in the future.
Mm-hmm.
As for I Love My Dad, I totally agree about like character decisions being very unrealistic in this movie. Mm-hmm. And there's one you talk about, like the visualization of having digital conversations, but you see two actors in the same place. And there's one scene in particular. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not going to spoil it.
I know what it is.
But I watch it on a plane and this scene happens. And I'll just say, the catfishing gets spicy.
Yeah.
And it is realized in a way that I'm sitting there watching it, hiding my screen with my hands and thinking, I got to get Kevin to watch this someday.
I think that is by far my favorite. Not that scene, but like that, those types of interactions throughout this movie are so much fun because it's just what he imagines is happening versus what the dad knows is happening. That juxtaposition is just an absolute blast. It's a fun movie. It's fun.
That is all the time we have for Nimble News. Mm-hmm. What do you say we dig into those Portillo's Rodeo Burgers and Fast X?
I'm very excited for the burgers. I think they're going to be great. So let's do it.
These burgers are smelling good.
God damn, they smell good. They feel good in the hand.
These Rodeo Burgers feature a classic 1/3-pound char-broiled burger on a brioche bun, stacked with new, thicker, crisper bacon, thinly sliced red onion, onion rings, American cheese, and Portillo's tangy barbecue sauce.
It looks so fucking good.
Portillo's already makes a good burger.
They
so.
Do. The bacon's not as... I know, Frankie. It's not as thick as I want it either. I mean, just the profile looks like a perfect fucking burger.
It really does.
It could not look better.
Nothing beats a brioche bun in terms of hand feel.
100%.
This thing is solid in my hand, and there's so many toppings, but it is... It's locked down.
I think both of these could be a literal commercial burger. Like, that's how... They could be in a commercial, and I'd want to get this. Can we, please?
Sure.
I'm so hungry.
For a fast food burger, that bacon is pretty crisp.
That's good bacon.
And that onion, that raw onion.
The
nice
raw
crunch.
Onion combined with the onion ring is beautiful. I just got to a pocket of that tangy barbecue sauce, too. That really comes in nicely. You can taste the grill. You can taste the grill.
Yeah. I feel like these toppings are great. There's almost so much. I feel like it needs like more barbecue or more something.
It needs more of a sauce. Yeah. I think it needs like a Thousand Island or something like that, as opposed to a barbecue. I think, again, we let this sit for a while, so I think the barbecue has soaked into the bun maybe a little too much.
Well, wait. This food just got delivered.
That's fair.
And
that's
this fair. American cheese, I mean, it's not very soft, you know. It's it hardens quick.
Yeah.
We're nitpicking, but this is a really good burger.
This is really fucking good. It's a restaurant quality burger. I mean, this is an Applebee's level quality. I'd say even maybe beyond that,
Applebee's known for like microwaving all their food, and this tastes probably, like they make it made on a grill, you know.
Probably better than Applebee's.
I really like Portillo's. Yeah. I think their hot dogs, their Italian beef, like it's not absolute number one best, but
they do
it if you're going through a drive-thru and you want any of that, they have great fries, do great shakes.
Mm-hmm.
They just really They know what they're right. doing. And there's a reason why they usually stick to the classics.
Yeah.
And it's heartening to see that they branch out and they pretty much nailed it.
They nailed it. I mean, yeah, I'd expect to pay like $15 for this with fries at a place that I was sitting down at. And I would be happy to do that. And this was only like $8, I think, each. Pockets of that sauce. Pockets of that sauce. I'm trying to think of what could bring it home. Mayo, maybe?
Maybe it is just a matter of adding another sauce. I mean, I'm even thinking like if these were some grilled onions instead of raw onions, that could add a nice like softness to it.
I'd probably swap out the onion rings for grilled onions in combination with raw onions because I want more of that grill flavor. Like you get it with the patty, but I want more of it because it's so good.
Do you think this is what they serve at rodeos?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't serve beef there. There's a rule against it.
They like to respect animals.
They respect that. That's right. You know, the funny thing about every fucking rodeo burger I've tried, it's just got onion rings on it and barbecue sauce. That makes a rodeo burger. I think it represents the lasso and the onion rings and then the blood of the people gored by the bowl as a barbecue sauce. That's the only correlation I can make. But
why is it that onions and barbecue is just instantly Southern? Like, every fast food place at some point has released a Southern burger or sandwich.
Or Western.
And it's, or Western. It's Western. It's always just onion, barbecue, and some other shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. They just all agreed at some point. Somebody must have done it right once, and they said, yep.
Like, in New England, are they just like, fuck that?
Yeah, probably. They just put lobster and tax evasion on theirs. That sauce was good, though. I could see me eating a rack of ribs with that barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah, it is good sauce. Good tang.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of sweetness.
It is.
Not too much.
Not too much. I'm not a fan of the sweet sauces, and it's the perfect level. I mean, overall, this is probably the best food we've eaten this year. Not to spoil our top 10 episode at the end of the year, but I think this is...
I mean, I think it's been a good year. We had Dave's.
Oh, fuck, we had Dave's.
Actually, solid year.
We've eaten some other really good things, too.
Frankie is currently figuring out how she can overpower me to get this burger.
Oh, she knows how. She's just restraining herself. If I were to take that collar off, you'd be toast. I don't want it to end. I think if I go to Portillo's anytime soon, I'm not going to get this and a side of fries. I'm going to get two of these. And then die. I need to take lactate. Hold on. Lactate instructions always tell you to take it with your first bite of cheese. I don't think I've ever made that goal.
You got to change that label to say, about midway through the burger, you know, have some conversation, mm-hmm. wait till that podcast hits about the hour 5 minute mark, mm-hmm. then take your lactate.
Yep. That's what I abide by. You know what? I think two would be too filling. So if I go to Portillo's again, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to come back for dinner later that day and get this again. It is filling. I mean, that is a pretty sizable chunk of food.
I think Lactate HQ would recommend this and one milkshake.
Oh, my God. Chocolate cake shake would honestly kill me. I think I'd just die.
Their shakes are so good.
I fucking love a chocolate cake shake. It's so hard for me to not get one every time I go.
Do you remember that time when you and I surprised each other with snacks and we both
on the got show.
Portillo's desserts.
I got the strawberry shortcake and you got...
You bought that for...
For you.
No, wait, who got who what?
I think I got the strawberry shortcake for you. And I think you got me...
Oh, it was a tiramisu. Triple,
yes, that's what it was.
Was this flipped? Because I wouldn't have gotten you tiramisu, I don't think. I think I got you strawberry shortcake.
Maybe I got you tiramisu. Yeah, I ate the strawberry shortcake. You're right.
We just mowed into both of them.
Yeah. Oh, they were fucking amazing. That strawberry shortcake to this day is one of the best desserts on the market. And that's not just fast food.
Yeah, that was sick.
No, oh, but it was amazing that we both went that route. Out of all the options in the world, we're drawn to it. It calls to us. Like calls to like. That's in the book I'm reading right now. But that's about magic powers, which I guess we kind of have when it comes to fast food.
To our international listeners, Portillo's is... I think like it's a Midwest.
I think it's Chicago.
Yeah, it started in Chicago. It's branched out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the whole rodeo burger strategy, is they're trying to get into the South and the West.
Here's what I think, though. I don't think down South they probably don't like rodeo burgers and Western burgers and think that's some Yankee shit that they think represents, you know, the South.
What do you think they're actually eating?
Crawfish. And... crab bakes, Cajun andouille sausage.
If Portillo's made hush puppies,
I'd eat them.
Kevin, much like you, I did not want that burger to end.
Ugh.
Which brings us to Fast X.
Ugh.
After watching this film, I was reminded of a tweet, speaking of Twitter,
yeah,
from a comedy writer who I love. His name is Mike Jin. He's at Shut Up Mike Jin. This is a tweet from 2018 that resurfaces all the time. The tweet reads, "Why must a movie be, quote, good? Is it not enough to sit somewhere dark and see a beautiful face huge?" So, Kevin, I ask you this. Must a Fast and Furious movie be good? Or is it enough to sit somewhere dark and see crashing cars huge?
I am so torn about this movie because I went into this so reluctantly. I didn't want to see it. I didn't even want to do an episode on it. I haven't watched any of the other ones other than Hobbs and Shaw and like the original, maybe the first two. So I was like, I'm not going to know what the fuck's going on. I'm not going to understand who half these characters are. But it doesn't matter. It does not matter in this movie. I mean, this movie starts out so hot and everyone is so disoriented in the first 5 minutes. And that doesn't stop for 2.5 hours. It's just pure chaos. I don't think I've laughed harder at a movie in a very long time. Like, this is not a comedy, but that's how you have to approach it, I guess. That's like what these movies are now. They're just a joke because they're so bad and they're so... Like, the acting is so horrendous. It's none of it makes any sense. What the fuck are they doing? Like, these are questions you're just sitting there asking yourself the whole time. But because you go with friends to see this ridiculous shit, it becomes a fun experience. The movie's trash. But the experience I had watching it was fun. And so I don't know where I put this movie in terms of how I liked it, because I didn't like it for the reasons they probably want me to like it. Or maybe this is why they wanted me to like it. I don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't know who in the studio is approving all of these absurd plot lines and ridiculous twists. I don't even know if that's the right word for it. Turns. That's a driving term. It is. I don't know. It's really fucking with me. I think I need to like go to an extra therapy session to talk about this movie. You probably loved it.
So you and I appreciate action movies. I think that I'm able to appreciate dumb action movies even more than you are. Mm-hmm. And there is something about this franchise, at least at this point, that feels so silly in a way that nothing else is. Yeah. I really like the Mission Impossible movies. Mm-hmm. I like the John Wick movies. Like, yeah. These movies do not have good stories. They don't have good dialogue. They have a lot of pretty bad acting.
Oh, my God.
But what is it, do you think, that separates the Fast series from everything else? Like, it is so... I think it's just that it... I don't even know if it's the movie as a whole or the people making it, but at least Vin Diesel himself...
Oh, my God.
...wants so hard to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Like, so seriously. And when... There's a moment in this movie when he's about to do something dangerous and slowly pulls out his chain, which has a cross on it, mm-hmm. and says, "You gotta have faith," and then does it.
Yep.
And like, it is played completely straight. Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible would never do something so fucking stupid.
Yes.
No one from any action movie would ever do that unless it was like a campy, tongue-in-cheek... line. There is
no
franchise like this that is that wants to be so emotional but is so completely a joke.
I can't tell if it's... I totally agree that Vin Diesel thinks these are Oscar worthy movies and his performance is as well. Like, I think he really wants to be taken seriously, but is everyone else in on the joke? Like, are the studio heads in on the joke? Are his co-stars in on the joke? Because nobody else seems to be trying as hard to be taken as seriously in these movies as him. And like, I can't, every line that came out of his mouth is,
you may not have noticed this. This is actually kind of like hard to catch, but did you know that, Dom Toretto is essentially a Jesus Christ?
Oh my God. Like the cross, has that been in other movies?
I don't know. And for people who haven't seen this, could not be more completely on the nose in your face that Dom Toretto is Jesus. Like, he's literally comparing himself to a holy figure at points. Mm-hmm. There's a portion early on in this movie when the bad guys are they're watching footage from the past movies, which that in itself, what the hell? How in this universe does anyone have this footage unless they're renting the DVDs of Too Fast, Too Furious? Anyways, they're watching this footage on screens, and this guy says, "How have we let them get away with this for so long?"
That's what I said over and over
again. How have we, as a society, let them get away with this for so long? What? This film cost over $300 million, which is one of the highest budgets of all time. There was COVID delays and a director change and all these reasons, but this is an absurdly expensive movie. And it's going to make, worldwide, internationally, these movies do really well. Oh, yeah. They don't do that great in the US, but in like China and all sorts of other territories, they do great. I mean, it's just cars driving. There's not a lot of like cultural or language barriers there. Mm-mm. But why? Like, what do you think, just trying to put ourselves in the minds of people who like other things, why do people keep coming? Is it, do you really Nathan, think it is just
you
like...
You dragged me to a theater to see
but
this
I'm saying,
movie.
But do you think that us as friends seeing this and laughing at it, do you think that is mostly the reason why there are 10 of these movies?
I think a lot of it is that, but I think because it has been around for, I mean, when did the first one come out?
I think over 20 years ago.
It's just part of life. Like, honestly, it is, hey, there's a new Fast and the Furious. Should we go see it?
It's an American institution.
And honestly, I'm not even joking. It is. Like, it is so embedded in cinema culture that this is an event every couple of years that people go see because it's like, well, I've been doing this for 15 years. I'm not going to stop now. It's just, it's the same recipe. It's like going home to mama's cooking. Like, it's you're going to get the same meal every time, and it's going to bring you a little weird comfort. Like, even if the food's not your favorite, you're gonna be like, God, I've been eating it for years, and it just hits that same spot. It's so strange to me. It really is, because I have avoided seeing a lot of these, but clearly a huge chunk of society is flocking to these every time they pump out a new one. And it has to just be that familiarity. It has to be just like, it's like a dead group chat where somebody just says, oh, new Fast and the Furious, we going again? And it's like people you haven't talked to in 4 years, but you're just like, yeah, let's go. It will never make sense in my mind. But again, after this one, I'm going to be there for Fast 11.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm going to be there.
This universe, there's so much lore, so many characters, things that I don't care about. Like, there are four characters that show up in this movie that it's supposed to be a big deal, and I think,
yeah,
I don't care.
Yep.
However, there's no reality in which you and I don't see Fast 11.
100%.
Yeah. We're going to be there.
And I hate it. And I hate it. And I hate it. But I will be in the middle with a huge smile on my face, laughing out loud at the screen. And we saw this together, and there was a couple in front of us who I think were taking it much more seriously than us, because at some points when we laughed, they'd kind of give us the over the shoulder look. And I thought, you are the ones who have built this world by taking it somewhat seriously. And it baffles me. It really baffles me. I almost want to go back and watch the other one just to figure out what the fuck is going on, because so many major actors and actresses came into this movie and I thought, what the fuck are you doing here?
There's literally never been such a big cast of A-listers in one movie. It doesn't make sense. They have Rita Moreno, but for one scene.
Yes.
Helen Mirren, but for one scene.
Oh my God.
There are others I don't want to spoil, but for one scene. And I'm thinking, how much did they pay each of these people?
And that's... I feel like if I were an actor and somebody said, do you want to be in the next Fast and the Furious movie? I'd be like, absolutely fucking not. And it would have to be such a big number. And that's got to be a huge chunk of that $300 million budget. Because obviously they're blowing up a bunch of cars and shit. But a lot of this movie is CGI. And laughable CGI at many points. So I'm guessing, like, this with this cast, it's got to just be such a huge chunk of the budget. I guarantee over half of the budget.
So the estimate is $340 million for this film alone. Do you want to guess what number that puts it at on the all-time record of highest movie budgets?
$340 million?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth.
Number eight.
Wow.
Can you guess some other, just like, franchises that are on the top 10 list?
Probably Mission Impossible.
No, none.
Really? Lord of the Rings.
No. That's probably because they making three movies at one time. Yeah, probably like true. The budget's that's a little true. Bit more reasonable.
A Marvel movie?
Yes, there are three Avengers movies.
Okay. Avatar movies.
Avatar 2 is number 7. Yes. Wow. Which Avatar 2 cost $10 million more than Fast 10, which, regardless of your opinion of the story of Avatar 2, it is a CGI masterpiece.
Yeah.
And the fact that it barely cost... And it took 15 years for James Cameron to make. The fact that it barely cost more than Fast 10...
They shot Fast 10 in a weekend.
That is insane. There's also... Okay, the number one of all time is Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, I didn't even think.
Which cost $447 million.
Wow.
Just under that, Jurassic World 2. Then another Star Wars... Pirates 4?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. Got a lot of buzz.
Yeah, a few Avengers, and then Pirates, looks like Pirates 3,
mm-hmm.
and then Justice League, another Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah, Fast 10, now on that list of the most expensive movies of all time. That so, do you know about how the director?
Yeah, I know the director Justin backed
Lin,
out.
Justin Lin had directed maybe like 4 or 5 of the previous films, and he was back and then left because of a rift with Vin Diesel.
Yep.
And then Louis Leterrier was brought in literally mid-filming.
Just so funny to me that, like, Vin Diesel can be enough of a dick where a director's just like, I'm fucking done with you, dude. Like, I'm done with you.
Doesn't... I mean, the guy clearly has enough sway at the studio. Like, they could just fire him. But they don't. Because he's... I mean, he's a pretty massive star.
He somehow is. I still remember, like, when Triple X first came out. Do you ever see Triple X? Mm-hmm. I remember being like, this dude's fucking sweet. But I was a 10, 12-year-old idiot. But I was like, yeah, what a cool dude. And then everything else he's been in, other than Groot, which, I mean, it's fucking Groot. he's not very good. So I don't understand. Maybe Chronicles, you know what? I'll give him Chronicles of Riddick. He was fine in that. But I don't understand how he's as big as a star as he is. It's these movies. That's why. It's
This is his everything now. That he's all in on the Fast movies, which I think you're right that after this series ends, I'm sure there's going to be a continuation of some kind. Oh my because God. What else is he going
to
do?
That's why he's got a son and he's teaching his son to drive. It's going to be the Toretto family tales. Like, it's going to be so dumb.
Trademark that.
I just want to talk about the biggest aspect that was so shocking to me in this movie that I'm not sure if it's been like this in the last few movies, but the general lack of regard for human life is fucking astounding in this movie. The kill count, or the implied kill count, has to be in the hundreds for this movie. I mean, there are, in every scene, people just getting in horrific car accidents or bombed or shot, or a little kid literally shoots two cars with a cannon at some point in this and like gets a fucking high five from it. It just blew my mind. I was like, wow, they just kill everyone they come into contact with who's not part of their family. Like, they just don't give a shit. There's so many broken homes from their actions.
Exactly.
You think about like how many people die. And I just kept, I started to keep count because I was like, wow, this is a pretty aggressive. This is a lot more aggressive than the two Fast and the Furious movies I've seen. And it's just, I think they have to go for that explosive, murdery vibe. But man, I was shocked.
And so many of the bodies after bodies that they kill are these like SWAT officers with like masks on.
Yeah.
And I think the logic is just like making them faceless makes you care less about them dying. But yeah, I had the same exact thought where I'm like, these are just officers for an agency that like theoretically is trying to prevent terrorism.
Yeah.
And we're just offing them just by the dozens.
Literally.
And like,
it's like a mall security guy who's just, you know, trying to do his job, you know, wants to have a break and eat his lunch.
I think that the Avengers movies kind of changed. Like, I remember with the first Avengers, I think it's like New York gets like destroyed in that movie. I remember there being a lot of conversation about like, so are we going to talk about how like thousands of people died and like we're just, the day was saved and nothing really matters?
Yeah.
I think that there's more movies since then kind of taken that even further, just be like, yeah, we can just kind of, you can get away with it. And you don't have to like, there's no reason for it. It's just, oh, they're bad.
We don't have to follow that up. Yeah, they're on the wrong side. The agency in general, can we talk about, has this been in previous ones?
So aspects of it have been, yes. I don't think we need to get into spoilers soon.
Oh, because I want to get into spoilers.
There are aspects of the agency that I found, very intriguing, but, Mr. Nobody was a character played by Kurt Russell for a few movies. Brie Larson's character is like his daughter, I think. Something like that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's been throughout the series, but I think that this is the most we've really seen of their, like,
evil setup. Fucking headquarters.
Like, they're literally the deep state.
Can we talk about the room that, like, when we're introduced to the agency in this movie, it's literally... what's his name? Alan Richson. Thad from Blue Mountain State is the only role I think of him in. The biggest, most ridiculous looking man I've ever seen, whose gun holster barely fits over his boulder of his shoulder. And it's like Minority Report style screens everywhere. He's in a 30 by 30, just empty fucking dark room with like a one path out that seems to be hovering in pure darkness. It's so fucking dumb because he's got all these screens around him and like sometimes these faces come up, but they're totally like blacked out. You can't see who they are. And he's like, I'm putting it to a vote with killing Dom Toretto. And it's like,
it's a deep state Zoom call. Everyone's face is in shadow. And I think it's supposed to be implied that these are the most powerful people in the world.
I think
so. And they're just voting on whether or not to kill the gang.
It's wild. I thought That was so dumb. And like Brie Larson just marches in there and marches up. And also, both of those characters, did everyone in this movie get like a free set of veneers? Because their teeth are like, they seem uncomfortable with their teeth, and their teeth are so white.
Yeah, Alan Ritchson is so gruff.
Yeah.
But like when he smiles, it's perfectly white veneers. And I'm like,
it's
this guy wouldn't have these teeth.
No. And Brie Larson too looked like she had a set of fucking dentures in. I was like, I thought I was losing my mind. I was like, did everyone get new teeth? What is going on? And maybe they did. I don't know, but it was so strange. I think before we get to spoilers, we should talk about Jason Momoa.
Oh, yes.
Because...
Diamond in the rough.
Diamond in the rough. He is having so much fun in this role. And he was giving me, you know who... It's funny because I know you haven't been watching Barry, but in the latest episode of Barry, they talk about how to just... This is not a spoiler for you. It's not going to ruin anything. There's a scene where they're trying to figure out what to do with people who don't want to be involved in killings when killings are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they say, put a movie on. And they say, no, we can't do that. And they say, if you put a Fast and the Furious movie on, they won't be able to hear anything. And it's like a 5-minute scene talking about Fast and the Furious. And I think Jason Momoa in this is playing NoHo Hank from Barry, basically. He's got the same ridiculous energy of being very casual with killing and death, but also being fun and kind of like, you know, just loose with a lot of aspects of his life. And you can't really pin him down because he's just a little crazy. But I had a lot of fun with him in this movie. And I think if any performance is to be given a gold star and nothing beyond that, it would be that performance.
He's having a blast. And his whole character and motivation is, I want them to suffer.
Yeah.
And
That's why they can stretch it into three, Nathan, because he doesn't want him to die. He just wants to fucking string him along and torture him.
Wait, does he want us to suffer?
Oh my God. Yes, he probably does. But what a fun role for him to play. And he just nails that crazy manic energy very well.
Before we get to spoilers, I want to have like, this sounds jokey, but I want to have an honest conversation about... I am so interested in advancements in AI recently. You know, I play around with a lot of tools. It's fascinating.
We were just talking about this.
And especially as it relates to creative arts.
Yeah.
And it's already become an overused joke to someone will like say in reference to like a shitty movie or like a stupid post, be like, oh man, ChatGPT is getting pretty good.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, those AI image generators are getting pretty good these days. Like, it's just like the laziest joke, like as if a thing was created artificially. Every month, these tools are becoming better and better. And we're really not that far off from someone being able to use a text, an image, and sound and music generator to just create a movie.
100%. Within a year.
And the only thing that's going to stop that from completely disrupting Hollywood, which it's going to disrupt it, but the only thing that's going to keep movies, real movies, actually being made is consumers knowing the difference between AI-generated products and things made by people who want to make something new and do it well and make it interesting and creative and be one of a kind. You know, AI generators, they consume what already exists and they output something familiar.
Yeah.
Whereas true creation is making something new. Mm-hmm. And most movies, I don't think, are actually under threat of like I don't think that AI is going to be able to like make the next, I don't know, John Wick movie. I don't know, I keep bringing that up, but like, I think that those action sequences are so inventive and their attention to detail and the performance, it's just done so well that like you're going to know the difference between the real thing and something imitating poorly. I really think that this entire movie is the kind of movie that we're going to be able to get from AI.
Yes.
I think that if you put every existing Fast and Furious film into a generator, in a few years, you'll be able to output something like this. And you won't really be able to tell the difference. And if movies like this are good enough, then an AI replication of a movie like this is going to be good enough. And I think that there's a lot of creative people who I don't think are like really confronting this in the way that we all should, because the whole way that I see this stuff treated online is like, as soon as AI art gets brought up among artists, it gets like pointed out and like chastised, and like it's labeled uncool, as if like, as if it's a non-issue, as if like, oh no, stupid AI art, like that's not the real thing. But if someone who doesn't understand how art is made will see that, and to them it's art,
just
it's just art. And movies are a massive, massive industry that are not just enjoyed by the people who make movies and people who appreciate the art of movie making. It's enjoyed mostly by people who just want to go on a date and see something fun for a couple hours. I just think it's worth acknowledging that, like, I think a movie like Fast 10 doesn't cut it. And I don't want it to be like an acceptable bar for this is what movies can be. It's just a new combination of cars and a new combination of places exploding in new ways. And new random A-list actors who are copy and pasted into the frame. Saying the dumbest shit. And I'm, while I say that it's not enough, I also am going to see Fast 11. So I don't know how to like reconcile that as a viewer. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't think anyone's ready. For what's about to happen.
And it's going to come on fast. I think AI generated movies will be here within a year. I don't think it will take as long as that, but I, for my real job, not this, you know, I work,
you have a side gig.
I work with artists every day, and in a medium that is AI art is coming for fast and furious. And it's very interesting the different stances people take, because some people took down all their art off of their portfolios and posted just a no AI art symbol. You know, other people are, like you said, laughing it off as something stupid, but it is going to advance faster than we can ever imagine. And it's only going to get better at what it does, because that's what it's designed to do. The one thing that I think is uniquely human, like you said, is the ability to create new things that aren't out there yet. And AI can kind of do that now. It can put together parts of things that already exist and make something new, but to make something that's not made up of other parts that already exist, that's totally new, is something for now that is kind of uniquely human. And I think this movie absolutely could be AI. I think in 5-10 years, there's going to be a new Fast and the Furious every fucking day. Like, that's how easy it will be for an AI system to crank out this shit. But it's, I think everyone will be able to, I don't think everyone will be able to tell the difference, because there's a lot of really stupid people in the world. But I think truly unique, human-led, human-made stories and arcs and experiences are very difficult for an algorithm to put together, because there's so many multi-layered emotions and pieces to it that a really fucking amazing performance by an actor, an AI won't be able to do that, because it will, again, to be pulling from things we've seen before, and to do something new and to show new emotions and things like that would be ideally a way to stand out. But it is where our world's going to change so much in the next 5-10 years, like in the next five alone, it's going to be terrifying how much AI can do for us. And the whole landscape of the entire world is going to change. Like, a lot of jobs will be done by AI. Like,
yeah, literally no industry is safe from AI.
And I work in the video game studio, and people are like, when are AI generated video games going to be here? It's the same conversation. But interactive media, which has, you know, again, more options to kind of humanize it and choose new things, but it's a scary thing, but we're all marching along. Like, well, we'll keep doing what we're doing. Meanwhile, AI is about to surpass everyone in the next year or two. And then it's like, what the fuck does a whole industry do? You know, it's a very scary thing. I'm glad that my job involves talking to people, because AI can do that, but not like on a video screen, I feel like, or in person. So it's weird. And I think society will never be the same. In like 2-4 years. And it's going to be a wild fucking ride. But you know who's going to be there for us the entire time? Dom fucking Toretto. I don't know. It weirds me out. And it's something I think none of us can wrap our heads around, because we can't comprehend how fast it's going to advance.
You and I celebrate so many movies on the show that show us something about the human experience and make us feel closer to one another.
Raw human emotion.
I agree that I don't think that will ever go away. Mm-hmm. This is not that.
No.
No. Fast X shows me nothing about what it means to be a human.
This is a 2.5 hour long trailer for the next movie, is what this is. That's all it is. Let's get to spoilers.
Let's do it.
Let's fucking talk about the three parts of this movie that people don't know happens.
But before that, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Fast Food Film Friends is sponsored by the Vin Diesel School of Acting. Do you want to make millions of dollars by only repeating 2 to 3 lines of dialogue? Sign up for our 2023 acting class. We'll train you to be so consistent in your delivery of words like family or I am Groot that studios won't be able to afford anybody else. Consistency is the key to success. And at the Vin Diesel School of Acting, we'll make sure that even if you aren't good, you're consistent. Sign up today and become part of our family.
And we're back. It's time for our spoiler snack segment, the part of the show that I love so much because we get to talk full spoilers and I get to make you eat a snack.
I hate it every time.
Kevin, today's spoiler snack I have been sitting on for months.
Here's what I know. My girlfriend walked in the room. You said, I bet you'll like this snack. So I'm going to guess it's either a frozen sweet, but I'm guessing more likely it's some weird ass Oreo flavor.
You couldn't be further off,
oh
Kevin.
My God.
Close your eyes.
Stop making me do this.
Open them.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I saw this at the grocery store the other day. I told Aiden about it and he was like, how do I not know about this? And I said, we got to get it. We got to try it. I'm over the moon excited.
What is it?
For those of you who know the Sour Candies Warheads, they've come out with a goo recently that you can squirt into your mouth. They've come out with all these different things. And now they have Warheads Soda. That's a full 12-ounce can of something that I'm sure tastes like absolute trash.
This is a Warhead Sour Black Cherry Soda.
Ugh.
They got their signature guy with a nuke in his head. And we're going to pop this open.
All right. Wow. The color of that is...
Looks like a rosé?
No. a rosé with...
Looks like a blood?
A rosé with 5 shots of grenadine.
From Warheads.com, from the most popular brand of sour candy comes a fantastic, fruity-flavored soda pop with a mind-blowing sour kick. This sour sensation will make you pucker, but the refreshing fruit flavor will have your taste buds screaming for more.
The description is gross. I smelled it. It smells like straight cough syrup from when I was a kid. So
that is medicine.
That's literally the most medicine-y smell I've ever smelled.
Cheers.
Oh, what does this do to our teeth? Oh, that grabs your molars, all right.
Whoa.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Makes you
that
just...
That is restructuring the jaw.
Oh, that just... Those cheeks get tight. Who needs buccal fat remover? Just drink a can of this. Oh my God.
I'm kind of screaming for more.
I mean, no, hold on. Let me see the can. Before you... Let's take a guess. How many grams of sugar?
Who cares?
Let's just guess. Sugar. I'm going to bet 60 grams.
Sugar's fake.
I'm going to bet 60 grams of sugar. What do you think?
Just look.
36.
That's because there's not that much sweet. It's mostly sour. Now, what makes it sour? A cocktail of chemicals.
It's not unenjoyable. That's the worst part. It gives you that same Warhead sensation, but your brain also gets a fucking giant dopamine dump whenever you do it. They have other flavors, too.
They also sell this in a blue raspberry, lemon, green apple, or watermelon.
Lemon was always my favorite Warhead.
Oh, God.
It's a masochist.
Were Warheads just like passed around at your grade school?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was like dealing crack. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah, now nowadays they have the goo that I told you about, which is like you just squeeze goo into your mouth and it's disgusting, but kids do like a whole tube. Yeah, I don't know. It's gross.
What's cool about this, and is actually oddly appropriate for this episode, doubles as antifreeze.
And you can, yeah, I can feel the enamel melting off my teeth. It's just so red, I wish we would have just put two straws in the can, because I don't like looking at how it works. Stop drinking.
Last sip.
Oh, no. Once your brain gets a taste of that, it's going to want more. It's going to want more. It's just like these goddamn movies. Once you get a taste of this trash, you just want more.
I mean, this is a pretty accurate... If I imagine just a Warhead but soda, at least it's not a letdown. Like, this is what a Warhead
I think it could be sour.
Who's going to drink that?
Well, I'm just saying, if you want it to give you the Warhead effect, that makes you go full goldfish, you know?
Like, here's the difference between a small piece of candy and a can of soda. Mm. You got to sip a can of soda about 80 times.
I think if you just keep it in your mouth and swish it around, it'll take all your teeth out, and then you can really just gum that candy for days.
You give yourself a full detailing inside there.
Yeah.
I need you to explain something to me.
Mm.
We were watching Fast X in a theater together.
Yeah.
An electric car shows up in this film, which is a series first.
Mm-hmm.
You turned to me in the theater and you said, "The woke media has gone too far." What did you mean by that?
Oh, God, I got to put Twitter down too. To be clear, I never said anything like that and never would. I was intrigued by it, though. I thought, oh, that's kind of neat.
It's cool. It was a DeLorean.
They made it hum. Yeah. They really made it hum. It was a DeLorean, which I liked, too. And who steps out of it? Charlize Theron, who apparently is in these movies.
She was the villain in The Eighth. Maybe been in another. So, from the top, this film starts with the climax from the fifth movie.
Which I had no idea. It's Paul Walker. He's like back in full.
Yeah,
he's there,
and they don't make a big deal of it. He's just present during this action scene. And I saw the fifth movie back when it came out, which was probably like over a decade ago.
Yep.
And I couldn't even tell from looking at it. I'm like, is this the same scene, or is this like they're doing the same heist again?
Yeah.
It's the same scene. I think it's mostly footage from the fifth one, maybe some like alternate footage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some additional shots of Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing this event from a different perspective, which that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's still pretty lazy to start your movie with a scene from a different movie. Yeah. And that's that's your new action set piece.
They asked ChatGPT how they should start the movie, and that's what they said.
They you know, go to one of their classic barbecues, which is where we meet Mima Toretto, Rita Moreno.
Which blew my mind that she was involved in this. And her outfit was... great.
Oh, she looked great.
Oh my God.
The crew, you know, they're
the crew. What is like, that's the whole thing I didn't understand is like, because I didn't know about the agency, which first off, that's what you're going to call it. Like
Kurt Russell's character as the head of the agency is Mr. Nobody.
Yeah, but the agency, I get Mr. Nobody. That's fine. I accept that. But make it the fucking... I don't know, Road Warriors or something. Like, give it a better goddamn name. I hate the agency. And I hate that they have, like, cookouts in every one of these movies, too.
Do you know that... Because you didn't see F9.
No.
Paul Walker's character is alive in the universe of the movie. He didn't die.
Still in Fast 10?
Yes. Still. He's still around. He's not present in this one, but... So in Fast Furious 7, which is when...
He's working with the Federation.
That's when Paul Walker actually died in real life.
Mm-hmm.
His character retired. And at the end of F9, just before credits, they're having their barbecue. And his car pulls up. So he's just around.
Wow.
I can't believe that they don't... I mean, I don't know what's stranger. Him just still being around or him not actually showing up in this one present day.
Yeah. Well, this seemed like a pretty casual... do they all, like, live on a compound? I didn't understand. Like, they're all just so with each other. And then they're like, well, we're all heading out to Rome.
So, yeah, they get this mission that they think is from the agency to go to Rome to, what is it, like, to steal, like, a chip or something.
Chip, of course. A chip. This is absolutely written by AI. Now that we've had that conversation, everything you say, I'm like, that's so dumb.
Then Charlize Theron shows up. Yep. She's all bloody and beaten.
Yeah.
Dom is like, why shouldn't I kill you?
Oh, his lips were so pursed. It's like he just took a sip of Warhead soda. I've never seen him show that much emotion on his face. And it was all in just his lips being as tight as they could possibly be.
He says, why shouldn't I kill you? And she says, because we gotta make another movie.
I met the devil tonight.
Thankfully, I am God.
Oh, God.
She explains that this mission is a trap. Most of the gang is going to get killed in Rome. And so Dom and his wife go to Rome to essentially the crew is tailing a semi-truck.
Yeah.
Thinking that there's a
chip in it. They're kind of split in half.
They hijack the truck. The truck is a trap. Locks them inside. Turns out there's a giant bomb in the back of the truck.
Practical joke size bomb. Like, that bomb does not need to be that big.
Like, someone needs to tell them, like, that's not how bombs are now.
It's not like an underwater mine. Like, we don't need a 6-foot diameter metal ball to roll around. Like, it's just
like in the 90s when, like, you saw a picture of a giant computer and you're like, that must have a large hard drive. Like, bombs. And this bomb, which of course falls out of the truck, it is like a greased up pinball.
It's
bouncing around the streets of Rome.
Apparently indestructible. Like, what bomb is that stable that it can be lit on fire, literally bounced around an entire city, and not just blow up? It doesn't make any sense.
Dom stops the bomb with an extraordinary act of geometric precision. He's driving down a bridge.
We've tried everything.
He sees a crane.
Not everything.
He sees a crane, goes off of the side of the bridge, hits one end of the crane in such a way that the other end, which is carrying a giant wall.
It's the counterweight of the crane, which is a real thing.
Swings around, hits the bomb. Ping. The bomb falls in the water.
Pinball paddle. Still a very large explosion.
Only hundreds die.
Yeah. Maybe. That was the first point where I was like, Jesus Christ. Not just because it was in Vatican City, but it was, I was like, wow, they're really just...
You were on your knees in the theater.
Praying to God.
So you kept saying, please, why? Please, why? And I said, Kevin, stop. They can hear you. You said, please, why?
Not Rome. And from there, it just gets more absurd. I don't even want to go like bit by bit here because it's just every character showing up to different locations and having some ridiculous connection with locals there, finding a new person they have a connection with, and then they just all kind of get together.
No one in this movie is hidden or off the grid. No. Wherever you are, whether you're in a boxing studio or you're hiding out in a different country. I know that they have this like God's eye technology, which is the easiest like hand wavy way to be like anyone can find anyone at any time.
And it's like every character knows where somebody can help them is, but they won't all share that information at once. They'll say, oh, I know where this guy who might help us could be. And everyone will say, cool, let's all go there. And then they go there and that doesn't pan out. And then somebody else says, oh, I know a guy who could help us, but he's over here. And then they all go there, and that doesn't work. So then they go, oh, I actually know another guy. And it's just that for 2.5 hours.
I know a guy, and he's dating Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Pete Davidson comes in out of nowhere. Also, like, there's a bit where Han takes a magic muffin, like some sort of drug-induced muffin, and starts hallucinating in like 10 seconds and then it's never mentioned again. Like if he took,
he's just driving.
Yes. If he took like an acid laced muffin or a mushroom, whatever the hell it would be, he would be there for the day. Like,
are you familiar with the whole like justice for Han movement?
No.
So Han dies in the third movie.
What?
Then the fourth or sixth movie, one of them is like takes place before the third, and Han is then like reintroduced, and then now these later movies take place after he died. And there was, for years, like, fans, actual people were, like, hashtagging Justice for Han.
Because sure
they're
it was like, an AI or bots? Are you like, sure it was real
people? We got to get this guy back because he was so beloved.
How did he die?
In a car crash. And then in the ninth one, it was then retconned that actually the car crash was a setup. It was fake. He didn't die. And there's this whole, there's like this emotional moment. The doors open and Han walks in. And like, I was in a theater and there were some people who were like clapping and yelling. So yeah. Like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
They made such a huge deal.
To be fair, he is now my guy. I like.
And then in Fast X, he eats a muffin and that's pretty much his whole arc.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
a character.
He drives a cool car in Rome. But other than that, yeah, not much. He finds Jason Statham, which, you know, didn't really help them that much.
You know, I bet he took a couple mil.
Jason Statham just loaded a bag and drove out of this movie and didn't look back. Like, that's all we saw of him was him loading up a bag to kill a bunch of people. And then he just left and didn't come back. I kind of forgot that he never really comes back into it.
Well, you reach a point with so many people, it's so oversaturated.
Yeah.
No one gets a chance to do anything. No one's a character other than Vin Diesel and maybe, I guess, John Cena kind of gets his moments at the end.
Yeah.
But everyone else is just kind of set dressing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So the squad, they're deemed terrorists. The agency, as we mentioned, you know, they're hunting them.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron, they end up in this maximum security prison.
Maximum. Where maximum's a loose term.
Where the button to unlock the handcuffs is located inches from the handcuffs.
Correct.
And for the rest of the movie, they're relegated to what we eventually learn is Antarctica.
I think that was probably my biggest laugh is because throughout the movie, they're intercontinental. I mean, they're everywhere. And it's saying like Rome,
title Italy, cards,
Portugal. Yeah. Giant title. The most aggressive title cards you've ever seen. And she, they make this grand escape and she opens this hatch and you're expecting them maybe in the middle of a desert somewhere or something like that. And it's just snow and ice and it just says Antarctica. And I laughed so hard. I was like, this is, when did they have time to get them to Antarctica? And like, how would they not have known? It just is, it's all so dumb, Nathan. It's all so fucking dumb.
So at one point, the two of them fight each other in this prison.
Yeah.
Apparently that scene was filmed on the day when the studio was negotiating to find a new director. So there was no director.
Yeah, you can't tell.
No principal director on that scene. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nothing matters.
So at some point, so Brie Larson, she's with the agency, but she's on the side of the gang. Yeah. She's helping them in their quest.
Is her dad dead? We don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think he may have died before. Okay.
Nothing matters.
So there's this manhunt for everybody. They go to the house where the barbecues happen. Apparently in real life was like very controversial. The neighborhood, they actually filmed at that house, the neighborhood, and all the neighbors like protested because they had to do all these like smoke effects and like loud noises and lights and stuff. And they're like, you got to stop doing this.
Well, it's been 20 years. Can you imagine?
Please.
Can you imagine the guy who like signed a sheet like, yeah, this will be one movie. You can use my yard. And it's just been like held over his head for two decades.
We can't be letting them get away with this.
Like listing his house like, is there any downside to this place? It's a great property. No. And then just you hear like a full SWAT team breaking through the other house. Is that John Cena? No. Buy the house, please. I'm living in my nightmare.
So these SWAT officers invade this home where Dom's sister Mia is watching Dom's son, Little B.
Is that his name?
Yeah. And here comes John Cena.
Wow.
I want to know, as someone who did not see F9, what were your exact thoughts when John Cena appeared?
Of course. I thought, absolutely makes sense. Another person who just loves stupid fucking shit. This movie is essentially a car-oriented WWE match. Like, it is exactly his type of theatrics. I was a little shocked to see him in it because I thought, I'm shocked that I'm going to say this, I thought he was above it.
Absolutely.
But
he and Jason Momoa are both above this.
Yes.
Which I think might be why John Cena's fate is what it is, because he's thinking, never mind.
He's not dead. Let me just make it clear. nobody's gonna die out of this group anymore. It's all, they can all come back whenever anybody wants.
The reason I ask your thoughts on John Cena is because he's the villain in the last movie.
What? Against who?
Against the gang.
What do they do?
And
why?
He, in F9,
oh my God,
he plays the role completely straight with no humor and honestly no charisma. It's John Cena's worst performance he's probably ever done. And the direction, the writing, the casting, why they chose him, I don't know. But that was everyone's reaction from that movie was like, why did you get John Cena, one of the funnier performers? Like, he's great in comedies.
He is.
Why did you get him and tell him to just smolder and to be mean the entire time? So that this one, he's just like...
he comes in as like a fun uncle.
He's the fun uncle. He's a completely different character.
What has happened in between? Like, what's the end of the last movie? He and Vin Diesel come together.
I forget what the exact climax is, but yeah, at the very end, it's like,
brother, what are you part of the
movie? I mean, everyone who's bad in these movies eventually becomes good and just joins the crew, which is why there's 34 of them. So he takes Little B to a rendezvous point in Portugal.
I don't think it is in Portugal. Wait. I don't think it is in Portugal.
Don't they say that?
They end up at the Hoover Dam. They take a flight to Portugal, but they jump out in a glider and I think fly back to the States to get the tail off of them.
Okay.
Because they end up at the Hoover Dam.
I think that that's not supposed to be the actual Hoover Dam. Because everyone goes to Portugal.
It's the Hoover Dam.
Why on earth would people be going to Portugal in Europe?
Don't ask me.
And then fly that craft across the Atlantic.
They jumped out of the plane 20 minutes into the flight.
Hmm.
It's the Hoover Dam. It is an iconic fucking dam.
So they really? Okay. I did not.
So that was to throw
I did not
tail,
get that.
What I
that they were
Trust
all...
me. Me and Haley had a heated conversation about this. And it's the only explanation. He wanted to lose the tail. He knew he had people on that flight. Kills them. Jumps off. So report is they're going to Portugal. But I don't know where half this movie takes place.
Well, that's a better plan than I thought because it fooled me.
Yeah.
So they lost the tail.
That's right. They lost the tail.
I'm over there chasing. I'm going in circles saying, Portugal.
Zipping around Portugal on a Vespa trying to find him. And they're at the Hoover fucking dam.
So meanwhile, Brie Larson finds Dom in a bar. Tells him to go to Rio.
Kind of a dark bar, but she opened her mouth and her teeth really lit up. Found it.
Dom goes to Rio. And at this point, if you've not seen this movie, I cannot emphasize enough. Okay, every time they change locations, like you said, title card of the location, and there's like it almost looks like a tourism video of like drone shots of beaches.
Yeah.
But when they go to Rio, the Brazil intro is a straight up music video for 2 minutes.
90% butts.
Please describe it further.
It is, I mean, late 1990s music video, probably number 4 on TRL, Cisco's thong song would be exactly how I would describe it, but with cars. That's pretty much it to a T. to be fair, I thought, yeah, that is Brazil, to my understanding, but no, it's so ridiculous, because every other one is like those glorious establishing shots, like the Rome one's beautiful. It's just shaking butts and like fast cars revving their engines and just people like waving money and drinks around. That's it.
It's hedonism.
I mean, pleasure for pleasure's sake, baby. Let's go. And he pulls in there and they act like he is
God,
the statue of Jesus Christ.
Literally Jesus.
It was astounding the reception he had. And it's been, I'm just going to assume, 10 years since he's been back. I don't know how time works in these movies, but like, what are the odds that 50 to 100 strangers in his immediate vicinity are like, oh my God, it's fucking Dom Toretto!
Because they don't all have personal experiences with him, but there are gospels about him. And there are disciples who spread the word of Dom Toretto. Yeah. And when they see him, they say, I didn't think you were real.
Yep.
I don't think you'd ever come back here. There were prophecies about this moment. God.
You know, this, I'm realizing this movie is very similar to the books I'm reading, in a very indirect way. I just want to make that clear, but in a very analogous way, And I kind of want you to try to read these books after. That's a total sidebar. Let's get back to this shitty movie. He gets there. He's God. Guess who shows up? The devil, Jason Momoa.
I'm more of a devil guy myself.
Oh, I absolutely sign me up. I mean, hedonism in hell all day. He wants to do a race, unsurprisingly, because he's just literally, he's like it. When I played a video game called Splinter Cell, you could place bombs anywhere you wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's just what he's doing this whole movie. He's got these little red ringed bombs that are like the most stereotypical, like, villainous bomb you can imagine.
Little magnet bombs
that stick to fucking anything. And he uses 300 to 400 of these throughout the movie. Like, his move is just blow everything up all the time. And it's always just these little bombs. So they're on every car. I'm tired of talking about it, Nathan.
So the two of them race. And along
four
with
of them race.
Two other people, one of which is a guy, I don't know who that is. The other is Dom's late ex-girlfriend's sister, who he's never met, but the second he sees her,
recognized.
He knows that that's her, mm-hmm. that they're sisters. Mm-hmm. Because why?
The eyes.
She smiles with her eyes.
That's right.
Anyways, they race. The guy dies in a bomb explosion.
Yeah. I mean, he's not part of the family, so he's going to die.
Dom saves the girl. Now she's, you know, part of the crew.
I do love that actress, though. It's Daniela Melchior, I think is how you say it. And she's been in Suicide Squad as Ratcatcher. She was in the latest Guardians as a little red alien lady who gets taken hostage. Huge fan of her. I think she's great. In this movie, because everyone's performance is
But she's really got a way of smiling with her eyes.
Yeah, man. Just like her mom. That's how I knew.
Sister.
Either way, it doesn't matter, Nathan. I've said her mom every time I've talked about her, and I think it's a better storyline, so I'm going to stick with that.
The crew loses all of their money digitally.
Yeah, they all invested in NFTs.
Because Jason Momoa takes it all.
It does lead to the best line of the movie, though.
Please set up.
So they find out they've lost all their money. Tyrese has been proven to be a fool multiple times. He fucked up his whole plan. He's the reason they fell for the trap. And they're all like, what are we going to do? We're out of money. And he opens up his coat like a New York City watch dealer and says, nah, we're good. And he's just got money strapped to his body. And I think it's Ludacris,
mm-hmm.
of course, who says, don't tell me you're wearing Spanx. And Tyrese delivers what I think will get him the Oscar. These ain't Spanx. These is Banks. And I thought, at least they got one line right. At least they did one thing right in this movie. We don't even see how they spend it. Like, he's got so much money taped to him, and they spend like one stack to get what they want. And then I forgot the next 45 minutes. So we're going to have to speed through it.
This is when they meet Pete Davidson. I want a dollar amount. What did Pete Davidson get paid for this movie, Kevin?
26 joints rolled.
Do you think he made $1 million?
No.
How much?
It was a one-day thing he filmed in 15 minutes. He probably got $50,000 for it.
I think six figures.
No.
I think he could put a down payment on a home.
No. But I think he could do that very easily.
Did you see how fast his show sold out here in Madison?
Yeah.
In literally seconds?
Yeah.
The man gets paid.
Does he? Going to a comedy club in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't think he's making that much money. I don't think this, to me, is something that if I'm a comedian and somebody comes up to me and says, do you want to be in Fast 10? I say, I'll pay you. Let's go. He's not getting six figures for this at all. $50,000, absolute top. I mean, absolute peak. I'm going to do some serious research to try to prove that.
This is when the muffins happen. They pick up Jason Statham. A guy in tidy whities runs around.
Jumps out of a punching bag that Statham has been brutally abusing. And this is when we reach, I think we're about a fourth of the way through the movie.
And then we are to, I guess, the climax. There's still like an hour left at this point. So John Cena and Little B, they boarded a flight.
Mm.
John Cena was carrying what looks like a kayak in a bag.
And you know, at least I knew. Some of our group said they did not know. You know it's not a kayak. Like, you know it's not a kayak. He gets it conveniently placed between the domestic airliner's cargo drop, which exists in real life for sure. Gets it perfectly placed over that, tied to some strings. Or maybe he does that part. They go to the bathroom. They get followed by three guys, which he easily dispatches, as he does. And then they just use three little shooters of vodka to power a plane to get out of this plane.
Which is just science.
I mean, I don't think either of us is going to argue that. That's science. That's science. Alcohol burns. Gliders glide. They get to a little bunker where they're supposed to meet with his dad.
Yeah, the rendezvous point with Dom.
Doesn't go well.
And then the climax is a car chase, which is actually kind of refreshing. Like, I feel like these movies keep, like, one-upping. The last one, they went to space. Like, they just get more and more ridiculous. And this time, they're just like, it's just a highway chase.
Keep it on Earth.
And that's kind of cool.
Yep.
But then John Cena whips out some car missiles.
Yeah, he's got a car, custom-built car cannon.
Kind of a twisted metal.
Very twisted metal. Very.
And the bomb part was kind of like Rocket League. I feel like this is very video game.
Yeah, it is. Movie. Absolutely. I would play this video game. I just want to make that clear. I would absolutely play this video game.
The whole chase, I mean.
We haven't talked about Ames. Like, we haven't talked about.
He's the agent?
The bad guy, yeah. With the.
So, at one point, he joins up with Dom to defeat Jason Momoa. Then you later find out it was all a ruse, and actually it was part of Jason Momoa's plan.
It's the guy who plays Jack Reacher. Again, I said earlier he plays Thad in Blue Mountain State. I should have made my homework hand off Blue Mountain State. God damn it.
Nope.
A ridiculously offensive show that I liked, again, as an idiot teenager. But he plays the biggest idiot in the world, and he continues that role in this movie, which is kind of neat.
He's kind of just like a jock, you know?
I mean, his muscles are too big for a human. It's upsetting.
This whole car chase, Little B's in the car with John Cena. Missiles are flying.
No seatbelts.
Little B, at one point, gets out of the car to climb on the back to fix the rocket launcher.
Unjam a cannon, yeah.
It's at this point that Jason Momoa comes up and nabs him.
Quick grab.
John Cena then pulls off yet another act of geometric mastery.
Yeah.
He points his car cannons at the ground.
Which, to be fair, to have that foresight to think, I might need to shoot the ground so I can launch myself over a highway gap onto the other side.
Kind of like an angry kitten style bounce forward. Launches himself onto an adjacent highway.
Yeah.
Says goodbye midair.
I mean, what a move.
Lands on the enemy in a huge explosion.
Yeah.
Is dead?
Not at all. Not at all dead. There's no way.
It's yet another moment that is meant to be genuinely emotional, but is patently absurd.
Yeah. Vin and his son get to the top of the
Hoover Dam. Well, he has to get his son.
Oh, yeah, he gets him back.
But they, like, spin in a circle.
That's the most absurd part in the world.
Jumps out the door. I mean,
that kid's dead. 100% of the time, the kid jumping out of one spinning car into another spinning car on the highway is so pancaked. There's no denying
it. He is pancaked by a dump truck driver.
Like, to figure out how to even jump or where to aim it's the most absurd thing I've ever seen.
He's going to rock that bumper.
And Dom is just so casual about it. Like, good job, son. Yeah.
So then they drive to Hoover Dam.
Yep.
So this last stunt, do you think your Fiat could do this?
I know my Fiat could do this. That's not a question. I've driven down the Hoover Dam 3 times in my Fiat. That's fine. No explosions behind us, but who needs them?
Two trucks come barreling after Dom. Yeah. His only way out is to drive forward down the Hoover Dam.
You only made one mistake. He didn't take away my car.
He just jumps over the Hoover Dam with his son in the car.
Lands at the Hoover Dam is at about, like, would you say, like, an 80-degree incline?
86, maybe. 86.
Lands flat, is being chased by flames, almost engulfed in flames.
Propelled almost by those
flames. At this point, now, I will say, this sequence was amazing. It is Fast and Furious porn.
I mean,
he hits the knots.
Oh.
And it's like, we've all seen a movie where, like, maybe a superhero they activate their powers, and then we, like, the camera goes inside their brain.
Yeah.
Or, like a smart person, and you, like, see, like, in, like, their veins and their neurons, you see, like...
Limitless type stuff.
Yes. This is that, but car.
Yeah.
And he hits the NAS, and we go into the engine, into every cavity of the car.
To be fair...
As the NAS is activated.
I don't think that's the first time this franchise has done that.
Really?
No.
Well, it was cool as hell.
Yeah. I think it's in the literal first movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh my god! Are you kidding me?
Anyways, I loved it. And then he outruns the flames, is in the water, gets out of the water. At some point, the entire crew, which is in a plane, blows up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Nobody's dead.
No. And then Jason Momoa is using his magnet bombs to destroy the Hoover Dam.
The entire, it's letting that
and
water flow.
As the water is about to overtake Dom, he kind of gets in a little fighting stance.
Yeah.
Kind of a, you know, like,
Spartan,
come at me.
Spartan-like stance.
And then we cut to Antarctica.
Yeah.
And our Michelle Rodriguez, Charlize Theron, they're walking in the snow thinking, what are we going to do? Then comes a massive giant submarine.
Biggest submarine I've ever seen.
Which I think was in the, I think, eighth movie.
I don't want to hear about it.
Out of the hatch comes Gal Gadot. And you thought what?
What is happening? No, I had heard she had been in a movie, and I heard that she was dead.
She was, yeah, she was in, I think, a few of them. I think it was like her breakout role.
Great. Okay.
It was.
Oh, God.
That was how, I think that was like her first major role.
Oh, my God. What a terrible world.
It was like the fourth and fifth movies.
I thought, I don't give a shit who this is, and I think it's ridiculous that a submarine just surfaces exactly where they are right when they need one.
Credits roll?
Literally, credits roll.
We lose our minds. Post credits. Hobbs is back. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Between him and Gal Gadot, it's essentially Fast and Furious. We lost our jobs as DC characters. Can we come hang out with you guys again?
That is so spot on. They lost their multi-million paychecks from one and they jumped to this one. What a pointless fucking movie. Like, what a... When the credits rolled, I didn't realize this was a two or three parter. Yeah. I thought this would be... I mean, I didn't even know it was potentially the end of the series. I just thought it would be a done, fully enclosed movie.
Sure.
And when those credits rolled, I, again, burst out laughing so hard because I was like, what the fuck is going on? What is happening with these movies? They could have made that movie a half hour long. And it would have been just as impactful. Like, I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to spend the
time.
They
could have just taken the Brazil music video.
Yeah.
And extended it to 30 minutes.
I'd rather watch that, in all honesty. I'd rather watch that. Very unsatisfying ending. Absolutely going to be there for Fast 11. Absolutely hate that fact. I would say don't support this movie so they don't make 3. And I can just be done with the next one.
I want to leave you with one thing.
Family.
Vin Diesel, in an interview, this was a while back, he was talking about how there would be a 10th and 11th film, and the 11th, at that time, would be the final main installment. Mm-hmm. And he said, what gets harder about the films is the work off-screen. The thinking, the expanding. It's hard to continue mythologies. There's a reason why Tolkien stopped writing after a while.
I need you to leave my house right now. I need you to get the fuck out of my house right now. I'm not even joking. Leave. I cannot explain to you the anger I feel inside. I was getting tired, and I am so awake right now because I'm full of rage. If Vin Diesel's... He shouldn't even say Tolkien in any respect. Oh, to compare those are... Oh, my God. That's why I'm saying he legitimately thinks people are coming to these because they are sound, solid movies. He thinks people take him seriously. I want him to be in a theater when I watch one of these. I want him to hear me laughing at every line he says. And then I want to punch him in the face for that Tolkien quote. The level of gravity he lends to these is absurd. And the guy is delusional at best if he says shit like that. That blows my mind. Oh, you had to do that? You couldn't have just let that one lie, huh? You had to bring that one up.
Speaking of long expanding mythologies, you can find all of our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere podcasts are found.
And if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, write Vin Diesel a letter and tell him he's a joke. Or leave us a review on whichever podcast platform you're listening on.
You can also grab some merch. We got Dodge Chargers.
Full Dodge Chargers. Fully wrapped.
At fastfoodfilmfriends.com.
And we have NOS switches, too, that you can put in your car with our little logo on it. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Fast Food Film Friends, Twitter at FFFFF Podcast, or email us at fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com to let us know what you want us to watch or eat next. Please don't make it a Fast and Furious movie.
Until then, farewell.